morning. Welcome to State Affairs Committee. I'm calling the meeting to order at, I think it's 5 after 9, or 10. No, 9, sorry. Wake up, Linda, here. And this is Tuesday. It's April 7th, 2009. If you haven't already done so, please turn off all your electronic devices. And here this morning with us is Senator Kukesh. We have a full committee in Senator Passavant, Senator French, as well as Senator Myers, and I'm Senator Menard. On the agenda today, we have Senate Bill 2, Public Finance Website, Senate Bill 171, an act relating to permanent fund dividend for deceased, Senate Joint Resolution 17, designating 2009 as the year of the Army NCL, that's non-commissioned officers, and Senate Joint Resolution 18, support soldiers' burial designations. So with that, we will start hearing the bills, and I think this morning, Senate Bill 2, Public Finance Website, Senator Bill Wilikowski, I see his staff is sponsor this bill. Would you like to come forward as staff member? And thank you. Please identify yourself and your affiliation for our record.
Hi, my name is Shelley Morgan, and I'm staff for Senator Wilikowski. And I'd like to thank the chair and the committee for hearing this bill today and providing me an opportunity to give an overview of Senate Bill 2.
My name is Scott Earhart. I work for the Department of Administration, Division of Finance, as a data processing manager, and I'm here to answer any technical questions that might come up.
Senate Bill 2 is identical to Senate Bill 201, which was supported by the governor and passed unanimously through the Senate last year before running out of time in the House. The intent of Senate Bill 2, the Alaska Open Government Act, is to mandate creation of a free, searchable website that provides Alaskans with easy access to detailed information on state spending. Such a website will foster better understanding of state operations and ultimately ensure that funding is directed to the state's most important needs. Creation of similar websites is occurring across the country. The Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act was introduced years ago by a bipartisan team of four U.S. senators, including Senator John McCain and then Senator Barack Obama. In 2006, President Bush signed the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act. This act calls for creation of a searchable website for federal contracts and grants of more than $25,000 and can be found online at federalspending.gov. Currently, at least 25 other states are considering taxpayer transparency acts, including Montana, New Mexico, Michigan, Illinois, Illinois, Colorado, and Oregon. Since 2007, 13 states have passed legislation, 8 states have passed executive orders, and dozens of others have launched state spending websites already, including 5 new ones just this year alone. A national consensus is emerging, supported by advocates from both ends of the political spectrum. From Ralph Nader to Grover Norquist, advocates agree that taxpayers should be able to easily track and help direct government spending. Real accountability and good decision-making require an informed public with access to information on government spending at their fingertips. The administration's checkbook online is a great step in providing transparency in state spending. The website has an average, I believe, of about 90 hits per day, with almost as many as 3,000 in one single day last year. The majority of the hits come from new visitors. While the administration's current website looks and functions like a check register, Senate Bill 2 calls for inclusion of information that will provide more of a big picture context for the layperson. Alaskans will be able to track trends and look closer at revenue and expenditures over a 10-year span. Annual revenue and expenditure data will be summarized by source, function, department, and account. Then individuals can identify areas they would like to further explore and pull up more detailed information. Senate Bill 2 provides guidance as to the type of information that a public finance website should contain. Funding revenues will be updated monthly to include proceeds from taxes, agency earnings, interest and lease payments, gifts, donations, and federal receipts. Expenditures will include the name and location of the person receiving payment, the amount disbursed, and type of transaction. Senate Bill 2 also requires an accounting of the total number of state employees over the past 10 years, which could be done as a simple bar chart. This information is currently available in other state publications, and through Senate Bill 2, it will be compiled online and presented in a clear manner for all Alaskans to understand. Senate Bill 2 will put the requirement for a free, publicly searchable database in statute so that all future governors will show the same commitment and transparency and accountability as current. The fiscal note for accomplishing this is zero. It can be accomplished by existing webmasters and finance staff, and we ask for your support of Senate Bill 2 and the right of Alaskans to easily accessible and detailed information on how their dollars are being spent.
Okay, I guess we don't have to ask if the governor had this bill in as 201 prior, so administration is highly supporting this. Is that correct? Is that a fair characterization of?
I can't speak for what the governor did last year, but I can speak for this year. Mm-hmm. The administration does support this bill in the form that it has that's laid out here, that there is a searchable database based upon Excel spreadsheets that are currently available on the website.
Okay. I think we all recognize it's a sign of the times. People expect to see more accountability online. Is there any questions of any members for the two at the table? Okay, Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to double check, it sounded like Mr. Is it Earhart?
That's correct.
Good morning. It sounded like your it sounded like the administration has the checkbook up on the web. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator French. That is correct. Currently, there is a version of the majority of what's covered in this bill. It is called Checkbook Online. It's accessible off of the finance web site.
And just so I know, thank you, if I may, Madam Chair, what will the bill add to the efforts that the administration has made up to now?
Through the chair, Senator French, the portion of the bill that's not currently covered is a lot of the personnel, the number, like, for example, the full-time employees over the last 10 years. Currently, we're underway in a project to get all of ACPAY data into the Alder Data Warehouse. The Alder Data Warehouse feeds the current financial portion of that's covered in this bill. That work will be accomplished, and I believe that's why we have a delay requested of October 1st, 2010, to implement the full scope of this bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Are there any other questions from any other members?
Through the chair, may I also add that this bill also allows that this is put in statute so that future governors will also continue to follow the same practice, which would otherwise possibly not be done.
The only area that I beg to differ with, I can't imagine that you can't have any kind of fiscal note with that, because I know we do have employees in place, but still, this is a pretty lofty goal to go ahead and get, you know, the matrix done on all the employees and how that all falls out. So it's, I think, incumbent on our part to look at a fiscal note, but I certainly am not one to argue with what has come forward. But I think oftentimes we say it's not that much to get into the database and add our numbers, but someone has to do it, and someone is currently doing a job, since, of course, we have a freeze on all new employees right now, other than you certainly can go for a waiver, I understand, but just a comment. Okay, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, on that point, is there any additional security that needs to be done to protect the website from hackers, or is it just the normal security that we have on all of our databases?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, there is no additional security on the website itself. I will say that any information that is placed on the website has been vetted to make sure that any confidential information does not appear. We are going through a number of steps to make that even a better process. and most of it, all of it, is fed through the data warehouse, which does make the monthly posting simply a report that's run.
Okay. Now, I think out of respect, we'll have Mead Treadwell. You're online from the Institute of the North. Mead.
Thank you, Senator Menard. I have a very short testimony this morning. My name is Mead Treadwell. I'm a senior fellow at the Institute of the North. I also am a member of a group called Alaskans for Tax Reform. As someone who's active in public policy, I've been on several national phone calls with leaders from other states also working on this kind of legislation. And I'd like to applaud the Palin administration for putting the state checkbook online. I also would like to applaud Senator Wilkowski and his co-sponsors for moving forward with this bill. And I testified last year on Senate Bill 201. I think all I can say is that this is very good government. I'm not worried about the costs, frankly. The process of data processing and collecting data and putting it out on the net is something the state has found it's able to do now, and I believe improvements will be called for by the members of the public. We're kind of entering an age of Web 2.0 where people may want to comment. I guess I see this as the beginning of an evolutionary trend where there will be much more discussion of the public of what's happening in this government. The only recommendation I would make is that there be a process for evolving this website further, perhaps an annual hearing by the legislature or some discussion by the Department of Administration. The other thing I would say is that when a governor submits a budget, it would be useful if that budget was in somehow the same kind of format as the 10 years that you're getting, so that you could compare this, a proposed budget to what's there. And frankly, when the legislature passes a budget, it would be useful if that information was also tied into this website. And that's something where I believe the legislature could contribute to open government. But aside from that, I believe the bill is very important. As I say, I testified on 201 last year, and I hope the committee moves this bill forward.
Thank you, Mr. Treadwell. We're pleased that Senator Wilkowski has joined us today, and he's the sponsor of this bill, Senate Bill 2. With that, let me go to Sandra Fabry from Americans for Tax Reform. Are you on off-net, Sandra?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony in support of this bill.
Okay, Sandra, would you please just state your name and affiliation just for the record? Thank you.
For the record, Madam Chair, my name is Sandra Fabry, and I am Government Affairs Manager at Americans for Tax Reform and run the Center for Fiscal Accountability at Americans for Tax Reform. And I believe you should have a letter in front of you from us, so let me just make a few very brief points here. First, we too appreciate the effort put forth by Governor Palin and the Division of Finance and the Department of Administration to create the checkbook online. Primarily what this bill would do, and we think is important, is codify the transparency requirement into statute, which we think is very important because right now transparency certainly is a buzzword and everybody's focused on it, but having the statutory requirement in place would make sure that taxpayers will have this tool to hold government more accountable beyond the governor's term, regardless of who occupies the executive chambers. And as we heard earlier, many states are currently doing this, where this is only an executive order right now, states are moving to codify it into statute. So we think that's important. To the point of cost, first of all, you're already on a very solid footing with the checkbook, so it should be possible to keep the cost of the bill implementation at a minimum. But what I'd also like to mention is that the more elaborate these websites get, the more useful they are in terms of yielding cost savings. We're seeing this in other states, where states are actually saving millions of dollars because they now have this inventory also at their disposal from an agency standpoint. Texas has saved $8.7 million in the first year alone, savings that were identified by the state comptroller. Plus, something we're learning from South Carolina, where a website has been online for some time. They realize they are getting fewer and fewer freedom of information requests because people have the information at their disposal. But one recommendation that we would also have going forward would be to incorporate a link to the actual expenditure document under which an expense is made, the grant, the contract, the purchase order, because that would provide even more context than what is already happening right now. But we think that Alaska, being one of the first states to increase transparency in government spending, is a great thing, but other states are quickly catching up, and this bill would make sure that Alaska remains at the forefront, and that's why we at Americans for Tax Reform and the Center for Fiscal Accountability would urge your support for SB2 and hope this will get passed out of committee. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone on the committee have any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, and I don't have anyone else that signed up, I'm going to close public testimony. What is the will of the committee on this bill? Do I hear a motion to move this bill from committee? Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that Senate Bill number 2 be passed out of this committee with individual recommendations.
Do I hear any objections?
In the attached zero fiscal note.
Okay, thank you. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 2 moves out of State Affairs to Finance. Thank you. Short at ease. Order. We're going to multitask here. We have a floor session that's been moved up to 10:30 instead of 10:45. So I don't want to hurry anything, but we do want to move as quickly as we can. So next we'll hear Senate Bill 171, an act relating to permanent fund dividend for the deceased. Senator Meyer, would you like to talk about this?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we have the CS for Senate Bill number 171 /R as our working document before the
committee. Do all members have that, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 171 /R in front of them?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. If there's no objections, I like to have my trusty staff walk us through the bill.
Okay. Would you state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christine R. Marisigan. I am a staff aide to the good Senator Kevin Meyer, who represents Senate District O, and I'm here to go through Senate Bill 171, which provides for the permanent fund dividend to an otherwise qualified individual who dies during the qualifying year. I'll go a little bit through the bill and then talk about what changes there are in the CS, if that's all right with you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Basically, the bill would provide for the issuance of a permanent fund dividend check to the personal representative of an estate or successor claiming the personal property of the deceased should the individual die during the qualifying year. The intent is that the SB 171 would treat the deceased Alaskan the same as the living in terms of applying for their final PFD, which means that the applicant or the applicant's estate or successors would have to meet all of the deceased would have had to meet all of the qualifying eligibility requirements that are set out in 43.23.005, and that includes the 180 days of residency, any of the exemptions that there were for military or medical, means that the person couldn't have been a felon. If the person was a minor, that the parent or guardian or authorized representative can apply, that the person had to have been either a citizen of the United States or lawfully admitted for permanent residence in the United States, or an alien with refugee status under federal law, or an alien that's been granted asylum under federal law. When this bill was originally drafted, we exempted Section A3 in the bill, and this was because number 3 of the eligibility requirement required that the state that the applicant was a state resident during the entire qualifying year. However, if somebody's applying on behalf of someone who is deceased, the deceased would not then be in residency for the entire qualifying year. We also realized that this would also apply to Section 1 and 2 of the eligibility requirements, which is the individual wouldn't be applying to the department. It would be the deceased estate and successors, and also state resident on the date of application, which the deceased's estate or successors would be the ones actually filing the application. That portion of the application process is taken care of. If you look on your CS on page 1, line 13 of the bill, that's where the change is, and then the line immediately afterward says that a personal representative of the state or a successor claiming personal property may apply for and receive the dividend. I believe we have some folks over here. Debbie Bitney knows a lot about the sort of requirements for applying, and she can answer, I'm sure, some of your technical questions in regards to that. I appreciate your time and ask you to support this bill, which would allow Alaskans to receive their final PFD through their successors or their estate. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Christine. And do any members have any questions or comments?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I might just add that how this came about was we've had numerous constituents, at least two or three that I can think of over my time here in the legislature, that have asked me about this. That my loved one, you know, lived in the state for 180 days, which is the requirement for anyone, and unfortunately passed away. We had to pay for all the funeral costs and all the costs to bury the person, and then you know, we could really have used that PFD, you know, help defray some of the costs. And they were asking me, why can't we have it? And I didn't have any good reason. And fortunately, we've been working with Debbie over at the Permanent Fund Division, and she said, you know, it's just one of those things that we've never really addressed. And so I appreciate all her hard work and effort to work with us to make this happen, because I think this is very important to those who have lost a close person and want to give them the best and their estate, and this is their final PFD. So that's how this came about.
Thank you. And I just want to go on record. I'm one of those that fall right into this area here. And I, maybe on the floor, I would have to declare a conflict, or I'm not sure how that would work. I'll figure that out. But I do fall into that category, and I do understand how the expenses certainly pile up, and especially if they are a true citizen of Alaska, if they have the 180 days. And maybe it would be appropriate to have you come up and just speak to that if the members, okay.
Before you.
Christine,
maybe
Senator Kukesh.
Hmm? What does the, if this is passed and the governor signs it, becomes effective July, or when she signs it, I mean, when she signs it, then it would cover this last fiscal year? Because wasn't a deadline passed already March 31st?
Yes, that's correct. And we may want to ask Mrs. Bitney here how that would work, and maybe we need to time the effective date so that it doesn't mess you guys up so much.
Yeah, the effective date question would probably be important here. Sorry.
Could you state your name and affiliation?
For the record, my name is Deborah Bitney, and I am the director for the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. I just to address the question of an effective date, currently, if a person passes away during the application period, that person is already able to apply for the dividend that would be paid in that year. The bill that Senator Meyer has introduced here would look back, and from my understanding, to about the middle of the qualifying year. So in the case of a 2009 dividend, we would be talking about anyone who was a resident in by all other accounts and passes away after the 180-day mark in 2008. So, if I'm correct, that's my understanding.
Is that correct, Senator Myers?
That's my understanding, too. It's a, okay. The actual PFD for 2009, if you look back to 2008, and did the person indeed, were they in Alaska for 180 days? And if they weren't in Alaska, were they excused for military reasons or, or medical reasons, et cetera?
If I may, just for clarification then, my husband passed away on March 3rd. He's already in, even if this didn't pass, he is already taken care of.
That is correct.
Because he had filed for his, okay. Any other questions or comments? Senator French?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just, this is obviously a bill that has great sympathetic appeal for the vast, vast majority of Alaskans who pass away having either qualified or in the process of qualifying for the dividend. But I get, as I sit here, I just have a small amount of concern that there will be some unsympathetic individuals who will qualify for this as well. And you can imagine, unfortunately, this is what comes with the territory when you think through all the possible permutations is you can imagine a person dying of a heroin overdose or dying in a during a shootout with the police. And, you know, their family will step forward and say, he was never convicted of anything. He's qualified. He lived here 180 days. Give us his dividend. And that's the policy call we're making, but I think we need to at least keep that in mind as we discuss the bill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, to Senator French, and it's good that we've had an open discussion on that so that isn't overlooked in the committee. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on that? I'm going to go off net now to Katie Knifer. Katie? Is Katie online?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
Okay, did you want to give some testimony on Senate Bill 171?
Yes, I would. My name is Katie Westfall-Neer. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised here. I'm representing my family, particularly my daughter, Melissa, who was 16 when she was killed in a car accident in 1999. It was then that I discovered in 2000 that she was not eligible for her last PFD. The money didn't matter to me, but the fact that the state invalidated her last 10 months of life did matter to me. And she will not let me rest until we fix this. She pops into my head every couple months when I want to let it go. For 9 years, I've been coming down to Juneau every year in February, March, trying to get this fixed. Subsequent to her death, I lost a brother who was a lifelong Alaskan last summer, and just 2 weeks ago, I lost my mother, who had been here since the 50s. I think it's time we fix this. We gave folks that deserve their PFD their PFD.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Are any members here wanting to ask Katie anything? Or okay, there's no one else for. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony on Senate Bill 171. What is the will of this committee for this? Oh, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to ask Mrs. Bitney, with the changes we've made now to the CS, that will also change the fiscal note. Is that correct?
The fiscal note that was originally prepared for this assumed that all of the people who died in Alaska in a year would apply and qualify for the dividend. And through clarification with the sponsor, a fiscal note can be revised to estimate about half of the 3,500 people who do die in the state each year will qualify. So the fiscal note will be reduced by about $53,000, which is one position. Based on the number of hours the division will spend to qualify these additional eligibility cases.
And so the new fiscal note, assuming the CS, we have not had a decision, and we'll follow the CS.
That is correct.
Thank you.
So just one last question. Is it fair then to say that your application will state some of these things, the new application that comes out, were this to pass both the House and the Senate?
Senator Menard, I don't know that there would be a necessity to include this information on the application. I would imagine that this information would probably be, you know, on our website. When we offer the application, we don't offer all of the eligibility rules at that time.
Okay.
So,
just a question. Okay. Senator Kukesh?
Just wanted to go back to Senator French's comments a minute ago about an individual dying of a heroin overdose or in a shootout with the police. You know, I think it's fair to say that this bill is looking at the family members that are left who want to look at possibly using that permanent fund to have some closure. And the individual who dies of a heroin overdose certainly is not going to benefit from this bill. And so I kind of, for myself, look at that and say, wait a minute, I think we're looking at the wrong group of people here when you bring that up as an example. It's the people that are left who are going to apply and receive the permanent fund dividend who are going to get closure, regardless of how the individual passed away. Is that pretty clear? I mean, that's what I think of this bill is.
The only thing is we're not handcuffing them once they get their dividend to say that you must use that money.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I'm just talking about
the
class of people that we're trying to target here.
We're hoping they'll use it for burial and... Senator Meyer.
I wasn't going to address your comment, Senator French, but since Senator Kukesh has, it is meant for the living to again help offset the funeral costs and whatever costs there are associated with one's death. But even if the person dies of a heroin overdose or in a gang shootout, you know, that in my opinion does not mean or should prohibit that the family members from getting that PFD. Thank you.
Are there any further comments or questions? Senator French.
I didn't mean to turn the conversation down a side road, and it is a side road. The vast, vast majority of people will be good Alaskans who passed away, I just thought I'd bring, you know, at least one possibility to light that may trouble some folks as they consider the bill.
Okay. If there's no one else here to testify, I'll close public testimony, move on to discussion. And do you have any further questions or comments? What is the will of the committee on this bill? I guess, do I hear a motion to move out Senate Bill 171 out of State Affairs?
Madam President, I'll move that we move Senate Bill 171 out of State Affairs to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal.
Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 171 moves out of State Affairs to Finance. Brief at ease. Senate Affairs meeting back to order. Now we're going to hear Senate Joint Resolution 70 designating 2009 as the year of the Army non-commissioner officers. Okay. Could you come forward and state your name and affiliation to represent the bill?
Good morning, Senators. My name's Josh Temple. I'm a staff person for the Veterans Caucus, and I'll be introducing SJR 17. Designating 2009 as the year of the non-commissioned officer, Officer Corps of the United States Army. Now, SJR 17 enacts a request from the United States Army Alaska Command to declare 2009 as the year of the Non-Commissioned Officer Corps of the United States Army, to honor more than 200 years of service by the Army's non-commissioned officers to the Army and the American people. Army non-commissioned officers, NCOs, are enlisted soldiers in the ranks of corporal through sergeant major, E4 through E9. Now, can I give you an idea of what that is? E4 corporal would have a few privates underneath them, to the sergeant major of the Army, who has every enlisted person in the Army underneath them. So, broad spectrum and very important. Now, on top of that, an NCO's responsibility also includes serving as a technical expert, a trainer, and guardian of the Army standards. These are the ones that privates are pretty scared of when they do things wrong. Non-commissioned officer corps is the backbone of the Army, and it occupies a position of respect and leadership. This declaration comes at a time when the Army NCOs are invaluably leading the charge on the battlefields of Iraq, Afghanistan, the Philippines, and other locations throughout the world. Now, this very feel-good resolution, it's one that the Army requested, and it's a very good way for Alaska to show their support for the Army in Alaska. Now, as an NCO, I don't want to sound too self-promoting here, so I'm going to let Major Williams give the rest of the spiel. But.
Okay, first I just want to ask if any committee members have any comments or questions for you, Josh, and then we'll go on. Senator Kukesh?
I was wondering if this movement is going on in other states, too, to have that state designate their 2009 as a year for non-commissioned officers, or is it just Alaska?
Through the chair, Hawaii was actually the first state to pass this, and it's already been passed there.
2009.
Yes, Senator. Okay. I know there are other states that are doing it. Major Williams can tell you the details of how that's going in each state, and which ones have passed it.
Just wondering. But, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Any other members? Okay, then let's go off. Ned, if you just stay there, Josh, please appreciate it. To MJR Williams from the U.S. Army. Are you online, sir?
Yes, ma'am. It's Major Williams.
Okay.
And, first of all, I'd like to just say thanks for your time on this.
Would you just, I'm sorry, just, I know you stated your name, but your affiliation, just for the record.
I'm the Strategic Communications Officer for the U.S. Army Alaska Command.
Okay, thank you. Proceed.
Yeah, great. So far as the other states, I don't have a comprehensive list of what other states have done proclamations, but I know that we're requesting proclamations or citations in every state because the operations order that covers year of the NCO for 2009 has requested that every command, that at least one command from every state makes this request, and it's my tasking to request this from the state of Alaska, which, you know, of course is very fortunate for me. The reason why I say that is because I also am a former non-commissioned officer. I have two non-coms that are combat cameramen that work for me, and the truth is, without the non-commissioned officer, there wouldn't be an army, wouldn't be effective. We wouldn't be able to get things done. What they do is provide the direct line leadership that is required. If you're kicking in a door in Iraq to search a house, there's non-com in charge. If you are, when you march the band out, every one of those lines of the band members has a non-com in charge. Anytime that you have any type of section or team out there, then you've got a non-commissioned officer who's leading. And as Josh said earlier, that goes all the way from the sergeant major of the Army all the way down to the corporal ranks. Really, what I want to do, what I want to achieve out of this is to reiterate the relationship between the community and the Army. I want to show public support for the non-commissioned officer who typically does not get recognized. Everybody loves to have the general come out and speak to them, but The Sergeant Major, not so much. And the truth is, without these guys, we wouldn't have a nation that's free. We wouldn't have an effective army. We wouldn't have the greatest military in the world. They provide the small group leadership that is necessary to be effective.
Okay, thank you. Do any committee members have any questions of Major Williams? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to Nicholas Henderson. Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record? Come forward.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Nicholas Henderson. I'm here representing myself. I am a U.S. Army veteran. I was at the very bottom end of that spectrum that Josh was talking about earlier. I was an E-4 team leader. I had direct supervision over 4 soldiers, 8 vehicles, 14 weapon systems, and all their training and disciplinary action, as well as administrative paperwork. So I just wanted to testify to the abilities of an NCO, the NCO chain. I have great respect for my NCOs above me. They were my mentors, my leaders. I looked at them with great admiration. My unit, while I was in Iraq from 2005 to 2006, ran over 300 combat missions, ranging from patrols to coordinated raids with Rangers and special operators. And the training, I mean, they went off great. And the training is definitely something that's done by the NCOs. They have a wealth of knowledge, and if we weren't as functional as they are, things just wouldn't go the way they did. We spent a year over there training Iraqi police and military, as well as our own soldiers, on everything from weapons maintenance, operation, vehicle maintenance, first aid, proper communication, and utilizing that equipment. So I just wanted to testify to the abilities of the NCOs.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your excellent testimony. Do any members have any comments or questions? Okay, Senator French?
Only to echo your remarks, Madam Chair, we thank you both for your service. I appreciate it, and I know the other members do too.
Thank you.
I'm looking like we're completed now as far as anybody calling in. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony so we can have discussion. Close public testimony. Do any members have any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If you're ready for a motion.
I am ready.
I would urge that we pass out of committee Senate joint resolution number 17 with individual recommendations.
Thank you, Senator French. Are there any discussion or objection to that? Okay, then Senate joint resolution 17 moves out of state affairs to the next referral. Okay, now we're going to take up Senate Joint Resolution 18, which supports soldiers' burial designations. And I see Josh is here at the table, but again, for the record, if you would indulge us to repeat your name and affiliation, appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Josh Temple. I'm the staff person for the Veterans Caucus, and I'll be introducing SJR 18, urging the United States Congress to pass the Honor the Written Intent of Our Soldier Heroes Act. SJR 18 expressed Alaska's support for H.R. 1633, a congressional bill entitled Honor the Wish Act. This bill would allow our troops to designate people other than their immediate family members to oversee their disposition if they are killed in the line of duty. Current law prohibits the members of our armed forces from authorizing non-relatives to make their funeral arrangements. Members of the armed service fill out a DD-93 form to designate who will direct disposition of the remains if they die in active duty. However, current law only allows them to designate a spouse, blood relative, or adoptive parent. Some of our service members need someone who does not fall into these categories to bear responsibility, but are prohibited by federal law to do so. The Honor the Wish Act would allow servicemen and women to designate whomever they want to direct disposition. H.R. 1633 supports our troops in their dying wishes, and passing SJR 18 will be a very meaningful way to Alaska to continue supporting our military while they're in combat. And this bill didn't come out of anywhere. There's been a number of issues with parents that weren't very good parents, and that caused some major issues in their sons and daughters' lives, and their sons and daughters end up having other people move in as their more or less parents. And there have been some major problems in the Army dealing with this. We have people here to testify on that, but so I'll leave that for people to testify on.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments? No. And I'm not seeing that anyone is online. Senator Kukesh.
One question.
Yes.
When you fill out, and I'm not familiar with it, a DD-93 form, during your career, are you allowed to change it, or can you only do it once?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Every time you deploy, you fill out this form and several other forms. And one thing I didn't mention is this form actually has a lot of money attached to it. Automatically get, it's $100,000 when to deal with funeral expenses and things like that. And that money should go to who the person wants it to go to, as well as the remains, really, are a huge part of that.
Could I follow up?
Yes.
What kind of support does this get into the Congress?
Through the chair, if I may, let Nick Henderson testify on that.
Okay.
And for the record, my name again, Nicholas Henderson, representing myself, but I think I can also be so bold as to speak for veterans and active duty military as well. To answer your question, Senator Kukesh, currently the Mr. Cohen, Congressman Cohen from Tennessee, is the sponsor of H.R. 1633. In addition to that, he has several co-sponsors. I don't have which states they represent, but it looks like we've got four additional co-sponsors, and he's actively seeking more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we've heard all the testimony. I don't see anyone else. So do my esteemed colleagues here have any final questions or comments?
Madam Chair?
Yes, I'll go ahead and close public testimony.
Only just before I move the bill, and I'd be happy to move the bill, I guess I just want to say that I think it's wise for the Department of Defense and for the Congress to recognize that there are some families that aren't ideal, and that you have to deal with the modern world and let a soldier make a decision about how he or she wants their remains and wishes to be honored upon their passing. And I think maybe someone has.
Okay, Nicholas, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I just I wanted to take a moment to maybe speak to the resolution, and you've Josh did a great job of going over it. Part of the sponsor statement, though, is a bit personal for me. I met a specialist, Christopher Fox, at the time he was Private Fox, in Airborne School at Fort Benning, Georgia. We both did not make it through Airborne School and were assigned to the 4th Infantry Division out of Fort Carson in Colorado. Specialist Fox and I served in Iraq from 2005 to 2006 together, and I was honorably discharged in 2007, and he redeployed with the same unit back to Iraq in the Baghdad area. Last September, in 2008, Specialist Fox was killed in action in Iraq. Small arms fire. This is the source of the bill in Congress, and as well as the resolution here. Specialist Fox, his mother had passed away long before he had actually deployed. His father, he didn't really know him. He had a stepfather and a stepbrother. As Josh mentioned, they were less than desirable. Specialist Fox had designated a woman a mother figure, one of his high school teachers who had taken him in when he had been kicked out of his home as her own son. He had specified her on his DD-93, and the DOD wasn't able to recognize her as a legal recipient. And that's the intent of this, is to make it so that soldiers like Specialist Fox have the ability to specify their loved ones, their parent figures, and loved members of their families that aren't exactly typical or traditional things.
Thank you. What is the will of the committee on this?
Just a question.
Okay,
and
right.
maybe address,
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe address this, Senator Kukesh's comments, and I just missed it. But on the previous resolution, we sent it to members of the Congress, Alaska Federal Delegation, the President, the Governor, et cetera, et cetera. Do you not want to do that with this one?
Through the chair, Mr. Senator, I'm going to hand that back over to Josh. Okay.
Through the chair, we can happily make an amendment to put in a CS. I know.
Do a conceptual amendment here.
Yeah, do you want the same distribution as with the previous resolution? Or do you have different people you want this to go to? Or?
Oh, that's this one, right?
Maybe we'll take a short at ease and let you kind of
yes.
Get.
Just do a conception.
Okay, so we'll put that in the motion when we. Is that something you agree to?
That sounds good, Senator. I agree
okay.
to.
Okay, thank you. So what is, we'll go ahead and close now comments. I think I closed it already, but what is the will of the committee on this resolution?
For the record, we should have a motion.
Yeah. We're
do I hear a motion on this resolution with a conceptual?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move a conceptual amendment that we add copies of this resolution to be sent to the same list of people that we had in the previous resolution. That'd be SJR 17, and that was lines 23 through 27 of SJR 17. I'd like to include that into the current bill before us, SJR 18.
Do I hear any objections? Okay. Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and do that. And then will you move the full bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that we move Senate Joint Resolution number 18 with the conceptual amendments and the, I guess there is no fiscal note, with individual recommendations onto the next committee.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, Senate Joint Resolution 18 moves out of state affairs. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I had